Good evening, everybody. This is our midweek Bible study. I'm Bob Marshall, and most of you know that anyway, and Pastor Berean Missionary Church. And if you don't belong to our church, I certainly appreciate you joining us this evening. Our lesson is titled, as you can see, Hard Sayings of Jesus, The Hard Sayings of Jesus, Part 1. And I'm sure there'll be a Part 2, and there may even be a Part 3. Our text, if you've got your Bible or your tablet or whatever you use, is John chapter 6, verses 53 through 54. And you can always just keep it there at John. If you've got one of those paper Bibles, sometimes paper Bibles are better for Bible studies because you could stick markers in between the pages. But you need to stay with John chapter 6. A couple of announcements before I get started. The first is that for all of you that joined our family in prayer for my brother Preston, who is currently in the hospital, as of last report, it just seems like he's going to lose that battle, but it's not over yet. So COVID-19. As several people I've talked to today said, COVID-19 is something to be considered. In other words, it's not to be taken lightly. And I would say this, if you're not wearing a mask simply because you think you might be invincible, I would suggest that you start wearing a mask out of respect to anybody you might be around. So keep us all in your prayers, the whole Marshall family, and in particular, my brother's wife, Iva, his daughter, Whitney, and their son, Chris, and all of their families. So thank you so much. And then I guess on a lighter note, the monthly podcast for the month of January is going to reach over 1,500 downloads. So I want to thank everybody that's been downloading. And especially I would love to hear from at least one of our six overseas friends. And if you are listening to this, you can do it to shepherdhelp73 at gmail.com. There it is. If you've been following along, here are the midweek scriptures. Some of these are simply referenced specifically, but all of them will be approached. And I won't be sending out, I normally send out a scripture cheat sheet, but I won't do that because I've got them all listed here. You're able to copy them down or whatever you want to do. And you can control the flow of this whole thing from your own computer. Now our primary text is John chapter 6, verses 53 through 54. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you this day for as we approach your throne of grace, looking for your mercy and your kindness and a little bit of wisdom, Lord. We hope that there's something said here this evening that will bless the hearers, the Bible students, and all who would join us. Lord, you're such a wonderful God, and we praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just so you're gonna have to bear with me. I'm still trying to keep my thoughts together and keep on track. I need to give a definition because Jesus used similes and parables, but he also used a lot of metaphors in his teaching. And for all practical purposes, in front of you is the definition for a metaphor. It's a figure of speech in which a word or phrase that ordinarily designates one thing is used to designate another. thus making an implied comparison. For instance, and I've got three examples up there. I don't know how strong they are, but at least you get an idea. Robert is an early bird. Well, I'm Robert, and I do get up early, but obviously I'm not a bird. Life is like a box of chocolates. Well, there's life and there are boxes, but I'm not so sure Gump had it right when he said it was like a box of chocolates. Then there's Doris. Eyes shine like diamonds. Well, her eyes shine to me, but they're not diamonds. So you kind of get the idea, hopefully, what a metaphor is. Keep this idea of metaphor in mind as we go through these hard sayings. One writer, and this is a quote, explains that Jesus used metaphors because he spoke to people in terms of how much they could understand. The Lord knew just how much to present to people based on their degree of readiness to learn. He realized that not all people were at a high enough level of spiritual maturity to comprehend what he taught them, end quote. Now, back to John chapter 6, verses 60 through 71 kind of set the tone for this whole thing. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying." And what they're referring to, of course, is this drink my blood and eat my flesh thing. He says, and then the question was, who can understand it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" This is prophetic. So you guys that are off into biblical prophecies, here Christ is prophesying himself. And you start to get the feeling that he's the message that he's sending has some special meaning to it. Focus just in, you got your Bibles. Let's focus just right in on verse 62. "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" This is a look at things to come. Now, what he's challenging actually sounds like that if you don't believe what I'm saying now, how will you believe things that you see in the future? We all are familiar with the day of Pentecost and with the book of Acts. And the day of Pentecost is recorded in Acts chapter 2. But if you move back just a minute, now it's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. You get an idea of what happened. This is beginning, I guess, verse 4 says, he tells them to assemble and together. And then he would come in later, and then he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. He says this, "But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Keep that in mind. That's important, that statement alone. "Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?'" I need to make just a quick note here. The followers of Jesus, right up to the very last, expected something different to happen than happened. They were very sorrowful. And yet, if you read through all the Gospels and you read through John, you'll see more than once he warned them that, he came right out and clearly said, "I'm going to be crucified. They're going to just take me out of here." I mean, in other words, but you see, here, even here in Acts, he's been resurrected at this time, and they're still looking for restoration. And that kind of reminds me that there's so many people who believe in Jesus, but they're looking to Jesus for the wrong thing. And then picking it back up, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall, now here he's going with this Holy Spirit thing, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth. A few days ago on the podcast, we're reading through the Bible, of course, and we got to this part where they, all the furnishings and all of the things that belonged in the temple, and one would be, one portion of those furnishings would be a box, an ornate box where they kept in that box the word of God and all of those things as a testimony for the people of Israel. Well, that's changed today. Today, we're the testimony. You are the testimony. I'm the testimony. We are living witnesses, and we are living testimonies. Let me continue on in chapter 1 of Acts at verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, go back to what he asked. The question is, if you can't believe this, how are you going to feel when you see the Son of Man? So now his Acts records the prophecy that he talks about as coming true. And now, there is help now. You're back in chapter 6. Stay with me. You're back in John chapter 6, because here is the help. Here is the help, not just for them, but the help also for us. Chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. If you got a Bible and you don't have that passage undermined, you should have it undermined. I'm serious. That it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And then, now, listen to this. But there are some of you who do not believe. You would think that would be impossible, don't you? All of the people that followed him, all of those that gathered around him, that massive group that he fed from just a handful of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. I mean, they all saw the things that he did, and yet there were many still following him that did not believe in him. For Jesus now, but it wasn't a surprise to Christ, because the next verse tells you, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Not only did he know all of those who did not believe in him, he also knew about Judas. In fact, some people wonder, why did he choose Judas? Judas had his part to play. And he said, and it's verse 65 of John chapter 6, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted by the Father. I mean, let's insert here, and I want to stick this right in here. Understand, beloved, the Bible is a book written for Christians. Understand that. The Bible is a book written for Christians. It's not written for everybody. Now, anybody can read it. Non-Christians can read it and intellectually draw from it and even make practical application of it. It's a very practical book, and it was written for that reason. If you look at the history of the constitutional framers, the people who framed our Constitution, Doris and I were talking about this the other day, their whole guideline was the Bible. It was the scripture. Now, most of them were considered religious men, but not all of them. But when they looked at this book, this great book in front of, when the Christians bought this book and said, well, this is some pretty good information, right? And so it benefited everybody. I guess another way to say that is anybody, non-Christian or not, can understand the principle that says don't lie. And morally, there are many people who are not Christians that just don't, will not ever, will be the epitome of truth. And thou shalt not steal. There are many non-Christians who've never stolen anything. I mean, and would not steal anything. So those concepts are intellectually acquired or adhered to, but you don't have to be a Christian. But we understand from our standpoint, that the Bible is written to Christians and Christians alone. We read in 1 Corinthians, of course, and scripturally supported, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 13 and 14, it becomes clear. These things we, this is Paul, these things we also spoke, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now, listen to this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. I just made a statement, and here is proof of it. The natural man cannot receive the spiritual benefit of the Bible. Why? For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are many, many honest people. There are many, many morally correct people who believe that Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, they're all a hoax. They can't. They don't even agree with intelligent design. Now, there are two or three groups out there. One group says it's all crazy anyway. We were slugs, slimes. We crawled up out of the thing. We were once monkeys or something. I mean, you know the development. And then there's another group says, well, we'll admit we are, there's someone intelligent designed us. And a lot of them think that they, the Martians, we might be from Venus or somewhere. I don't know. But this book is spiritual. Christians believe this book is absolutely the truth. So let's look at what the meaning, what the Lord meant when he, in John chapter 6. So if you've got a Bible, go to Matthew 26 for me, because I'd like you to read this. We're going to see the meaning. In other words, in John chapter 6, he says, drink my blood, eat my flesh. Well, it has a meaning. But it's not until we fast forward toward the end of Christ's life, all the way to very near the end, to Matthew chapter 26 and beginning at verse 26. For as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. When he took the cup, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which I will shed for many, the ransom of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink it again. Listen, stop it just for a second. Deal with that. Just deal with that. Have you ever had an aha moment? If there was such a thing as the disciples having an aha moment, this had to be it. Even if they had missed the understanding of it and were confused by what he says, here's what happened. At one point, when Christ was teaching this wonderful teaching in John chapter 6, he looks up and all the people that were following him apparently had left. They said, this is just too difficult for us to understand. What is this man talking about? I can imagine they were standing around in the crowd talking about he wants us to be cannibals of some kind. We're not doing that. And it was just, it was amazing. But after the dust cleared, he turned around and asked his disciples, he says, well, you guys leaving me too? And you know what Peter said, don't you? The reason they didn't leave, though they probably didn't really understand, was this fact, that he was the one with the words of life. He was the teacher from God. And so they accepted, whether they understood it or not, they accepted what Christ taught on what? The same thing, you accept what Christ teaches. They accepted it on their faith. They had faith in Jesus. That's no different from us today. We pick up our Bibles, we read our scriptures, and the Holy Spirit infuses us with this great knowledge. And though we do not understand all of it, we still accept it as a part of life. This is great. This is just wonderful. In a couple of my Bibles, I've got it marked. Aha! That's what. But wait, these guys were going to get some help. They were going to get some help. Remember back in the Acts passage where Christ says, things are going to change when the Holy Spirit comes? Well, go back now, back to John. And instead of chapter 6, go to chapter 14. I'm going to say this. And if anybody really doesn't understand what I'm saying, email me. And the email is right there at the bottom of the page. Email me and ask me exactly what I mean. But here in John chapter 14, verse 26, Christ makes an apostolic promise. Now, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. In Acts chapter 2, we see that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? It's the Holy Spirit. Here's our lesson, the lesson for us. Without the help, understand this, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we would be altogether clueless. Some of us, especially those who weren't, in other words, I always tell people that in high school, I skipped as many classes as I possibly could. But thank God to the Holy Spirit and his calling, that a lot of things that I would have been remiss of, that I wouldn't have understood, I now understand. And now, that's not saying I understand everything, because I don't. But now we are able to understand exactly what God wants us to understand. And if we think that we're in trouble, he says, if wisdom is what we need, we simply need to ask and we would receive it. And furthermore, God has given his church pastors and teachers for a reason. The scripture says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, if there is something in scripture that you truly, truly don't understand, and you really would like to quickly, call your pastor. Call him and ask him. Email him and ask him. Text him and ask him. Whatever method you might use, ask him. That's what he's there for. In the meantime, we keep asking, or those who are members of the Berean Missionary Church, we know that the option is always that as you read, and look for what the meaning is. You keep personally, you have a personal responsibility. And people are using that personal responsibility more now than ever, since a lot of churches, we're having services, everybody. And on my way to church every Sunday, and we're safely distancing, but every Sunday, I drive by, I bet you, four churches with empty parking lots. But then your obligation and my obligation, if you are saved today, you have the Holy Spirit today, and you can search the scriptures yourself to make sure that the things that are going to help you are true. That's what's important. It's so important. And that's why we push this reading through the Bible every year. Every year you should read through it, because we need to know the whole counsel of scripture. We need to know it so well that the only time you need to cross-reference is to help you find the book, the chapter, and the verse. In other words, it just needs to be there. When you have God's word tucked in your heart, the Holy Spirit is always there to help you. Now, what's the proof? I'll give you the proof right now. The first thing, let me ask this question. What was the first thing that popped in your mind? Huh? The first thing that popped in your mind when you read the John 6:53 and 54 verses 53 and 54 passage. The first thing, one word, what was it? Communion. You see, you've read the Bible enough to realize that's where he's headed. You might have to look up where it's at, Matthew 26 or Mark 14 or Luke 22 or even in 1 Corinthians 11. But because you have the word hidden in your heart, you have access to understandings. You have access to understand even the hard sayings of Christ. Pray with me. Dear Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit and the help that he provides. I thank you for your Bible and the ability to read and the desire to study. I thank you for your calling and that I am able to walk worthy of it according to your work in me to will and to do for your good pleasure. I pray, Lord, that all who are studying with us this night may be filled with all the fullness of your Spirit and that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know your precious love for them. In Jesus' name, amen.